Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenech.
Let's jump straight in.
Tech Guide.
This was a real effort to push into that growing consumer space, very competitive space in Australia.
Tech Guide.
It does give the user plenty of options, whether you're working or viewing content on the device.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
Knowing Apple, you just don't know what to expect.
Tech Guide.
They've gone from taking an excellent device and they've made it even better. It's had a redesign inside and out.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenech.
Tech Guide, episode 129. Welcome to the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. Happy New Year. It's great to have your company once again in 2015. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. I'm Stephen Fenech. I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. Well, we've just landed in Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show, and we're going to take a look at what we can expect to see here. Also, we're going to chat about Telstra and Optus flicking the switch on faster 4G networks, and internet security experts predict where cyber criminals will strike this year. In the Tech Guide reviews, we take a look at Sony's latest 4K projector, Logitech's Harmony Ultimate One Universal Remote Control, and Kensington's 4-port USB charger. And we'll wrap it up with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Plenty to talk about, so let's jump straight in. Well, here we are in Las Vegas. We've just arrived and we're just here ahead, a couple of days before the start of the Consumer Electronics Show. This is the largest tech trade show in the world. This is where all the major brands will unveil the products we can see in 2015 and beyond. This is the big show. This is where Samsung, Sony, LG, Panasonic, all the major companies, all the major consumer electronic companies, whether they're producing TVs, cameras, wearables, you name it, every corner of technology will be represented here at the show, including in-car technology. It's a growing part of CES, and there will be a few surprises. Lots of gadgets that make their debut at this show go on to become household names. We've seen several examples of that in the past, where these quirky little gadgets in a very tiny stand then become international hits, and I'm sure there's going to be more of that this year. Now, what can we expect to see? This show typically is centered on home entertainment, televisions, that sort of technology. And absolutely, I'm certain that we're going to see even more televisions. But what type of TV are we going to see? Of course, we're going to see large screens. But what we're going to see a lot more of, I think, are more curved TVs. We started last year and a sprinkling the year before of curved TVs appearing on the stands. Well, I think most of the TVs from the major companies, I'm talking Samsung and LG, they seem to be the companies favoring the curved TV format. They will have even more on their stands. Sony and Panasonic have yet to reveal a curved TV. I think Sony may have revealed one at IFA earlier this year in Berlin, but hasn't been a big part of their product range. That may change here at CES. But it's also the type of TV we're seeing. Now, we've already been introduced to 4K TV, otherwise known as ultra high definition. And we're going to see, I think, every TV that's going to be revealed here at the show will be 4K, just as it was a few years ago when full high definition was the new normal. 4K or Ultra HD, UHD is going to take its place and be everywhere here at the show. But what about the format of TV? I think we're going to see a lot of OLED TVs. That's organic light emitting diode. That is a new type of TV. We've seen them in the past. They're actually for sale already in Australia. But I think what we're going to see here is even more, and companies demonstrating the fact that they can now produce these TVs in high numbers. OLED has been shown here at CES for many years. I can remember, I think about 9 or even 10 years ago, when we saw Sony produce the first OLED TV. It was 11 inches. It was the equivalent, though, in price at the time to a 50-inch plasma. We're talking $3,000 to $4,000 for this small 11-inch OLED TV. A lot of time has passed since that time, since that date, and OLED has become a lot more widely accepted, a lot easier to produce. And I think this year at this show, we're going to see the tipping point. We're going to see the companies demonstrating the fact that this is going to be the main new format moving forward. You're going to see a lot more of it here at the show. But it's not just about TVs. Appliances are also front and center here at the Consumer Electronics Show. And you'll see companies like mainly LG and Samsung really flexing their muscles when it comes to showcasing their wide variety of appliances working with other devices in the home. Well, they're the two big companies that not only produce the TVs and the tablets and the audio equipment, but they also produce things like fridges and robot vacuum cleaners and ovens and all these other kinds of products. And what you're going to see even more is even more connectivity in the home. So your TV can monitor what your fridge is doing. Your TV, your tablet can see what cycle the washing machine is up to. I think the home is going to become a lot smarter, and not just within products from the same company. I think you're going to see a lot more products, like companies like Belkin, who've made a huge inroads with their Wemo range of products. Companies like that are going to be unveiling products that are going to be the smart products that can wirelessly connect to your existing home network and link to all your other devices. And of course, they'll be all controlled by your tablet, by your smartphone, whether you're in your home or accessing them remotely. So you can control your home, whether you're home or not. I think that's going to be a huge theme at the show. That term, Internet of Things, is something you're going to hear a lot this year, and that'll be spoken of a lot at this show as well. And by that I mean the connectivity of products from inside and outside your home, not only from your device to that particular product, but from that particular product to other wireless products in your home. That we're also going to see, I think, wearables once again taking a major part of our attention here. And now it's going to be, you know, this is 2015. It's going to be the year of the smartwatch. Apple Watch is going to be released in a couple of months. Other companies are also bolstering their range. We've already seen LG produce a couple. Samsung have produced 3 smartwatches. You're going to see many, many more here at the show. Activity trackers, again, a very popular category segment at the Consumer Electronics Show here in Las Vegas. I think too, these wearable products, you got to remember, are not just to connect directly just to your smartphone. Remember, a minute ago I was talking about the smart home. I think that the wearable devices are also going to play a part in that smart home, whether it's controlling your devices through your smartwatch or your activity band. It's going to become a lot more than just something we wear to track our steps in our sleep and our calories. It's going to become also a tool for controlling our homes as well. The Consumer Electronics Show is here. We are here in Las Vegas. And, of course, the show doesn't start for another couple of days. Press day is tomorrow. That's the day when all the companies then have a press conference back-to-back on the hour. A new company presents their press conference. And we'll also be attending the show, of course, each day. And next week's show, we're going to present to you the results of CES, what has been released, what were the highlights, what were the lowlights, what were the things to look out for. So keep an eye out for that next week. But in the meantime, if you want to keep track of everything that I'm doing here in Las Vegas, you want to read every day about all the new products that are announced, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
All right, back home, and the new year was kicked off by Telstra and Optus in a very fast way, and by that I mean new 4G networks were activated. Now, the 700 megahertz spectrum, which has been the center of attention for Telstra and Optus, has now grown even further. That footprint from both Telstra and Optus, as soon as we ticked over into 2015, grew even further. Now, 4G, the 700 megahertz spectrum, is referred to at Telstra as 4GX. Optus refers to it as 4G 700 megahertz, but for all intents and purposes, they are the same. So 700 megahertz spectrum, you do need certain devices to access them. Obviously, devices that can access that 700 megahertz range, that frequency. And by that, I'm talking about the latest iPhone. So the iPhone 6, 6 Plus, the Samsung Galaxy Note 4. There are the certain category devices that are instantly compatible with 4G 700 megahertz if you do happen to be living in those areas that have been rolled out already. At Optus, they've rolled out more than 270 sites in capital cities with a view to for another 1,500 sites across the country to be updated to 4G 700 megahertz in the coming months. Telstra, they've already had a bit of a head start here. They're ahead of schedule for their 700 megahertz rollout, and they've already expanded to more than 600 new towns and suburbs across the country, and they are going to expand that even further to more than 1,000 regions by April this year. You're going to see a lot more of that rollout. So actually, Optus plans to cover 90% of the population by April. Telstra are going to expand to 1,000 regions across the country again in the next couple of months. But as I said, you do need a compatible device to enjoy the faster speeds, the wider bandwidth. So the advantage of having 700 megahertz spectrum 4G is that it gives you not only faster download speeds and upload speeds, but also it allows you to access the signal in areas where you normally wouldn't have that kind of speed. And I'm talking deep within buildings, in structures where you do struggle to get a signal. It still baffles me why you can't get a signal in the lift. I suppose the main reason for that is because it's in the very heart of a building surrounded by metal. Well, that won't be the case now with 4G 700 megahertz or 4GX as Telstra refers to it. If you want to check yourself out to see whether you already have 4GX in your area and whether you have a compatible device, you can check out our list at techguide.com.au. Well, 2015 is here, and the cyber criminals are already working on what they are going to strike in this year. 2014, we've seen a number of things have been compromised, online security, privacy. These are things that hackers are constantly targeting. And the scary thing about it is you can never predict where they're going to strike next. Well, a company called ESET, which is a global security provider, has taken the trouble to try and predict actually where they will be striking in 2015. Some very interesting observations of where these attacks are going to take place, where cyber criminals are going to focus their attention. In 2014, we already saw a few hacks. The most popular or the most well-known hack that we've seen in the last month or so is the alleged North Korean hack of Sony Pictures and over the movie The Interview. PlayStation Network and Xbox Live networks, the gaming networks, were also down over Christmas. They were attacked as well. So network attacks are nothing new. But where these cyber criminals are going to strike next is a lottery. But ESET has done some homework, and they have predicted where the trouble spots are going to be. Now, there's three main areas where they've focused on here, where they believe they're going to be besieged by hackers. Three areas are digital payment systems, targeted attacks, and connected smart home devices. Now, the digital payment systems, you've probably heard of these virtual currencies called Bitcoin. There's a few others around as well where this internationally recognized form of currency, which is irrespective of country or government, these are already in existence and able to be used to purchase goods and services around the world. Well, there's already been a pretty large hack of Bitcoin in 2014. I saw one hacker actually steal $600,000 worth of Bitcoin using a network of infected machines to gain access to that. Now, there have been other what they call brute force attacks already. And what this means is that one constant attempt at cracking passwords. So they're trying to access password-protected accounts. A brute force attack means they can try to use all these various combinations to try crack all the weak passwords. So that's yet another example of why you need a strong, unique password to protect your privacy, your accounts, all of these things. Don't use the same one, because if one falls, they will all fall. Targeted attacks. Now, according to ESET, this is going to become even more sophisticated in 2015. Now, what a targeted attack does, it targets one particular victim, whether it's an individual or a company, and kind of holds them to a virtual ransom. So they can hack into their systems, freeze their systems, hold them in the palm of their hand, and hold them to and ask for certain information, ask them to perform certain actions before they'll release their grip on their systems. It's the virtual ransom that ESET predicts cyber criminals will attempt. Now, the last one is something we touched on in our segment earlier about CES. Now, I mentioned the connected home, the smart home. Well, frighteningly, that is another area where hackers may attempt to gain access. Now, you think about it. There's connected devices in our homes that may contain personal data, financial information. Now, all the hacker needs to do is to get into that India network, into your devices, and they've got a front row seat to all your stuff. And ESET thinks this could be a possible way in for hackers in 2015. Well, do yourself a favor. Protect yourself. Protect your passwords. Have strong, unique passwords. Take care not to click on any suspicious attachments or links. These are the ways they can try to get in. So common sense is probably your best weapon here. That's the way. Common sense is your best defense. That is the way to try to keep these hackers out of our lives. And, of course, keep your internet security software up to date. Perform all those updates. It may be a nuisance, but you know what? That latest update that's good, that you think is going to bother you, may be just the thing that saves you in the long run. Check out my story at techguide.com.au. If you want to find out more about those ESET predictions, you know where you can do it, techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Well, count them up. How many Wi-Fi devices do you have in your home? Well, we've got laptops, we've got iPads, tablets, smartphones, gaming consoles, smart TVs, music streaming. The list goes on and on. And if you're just like the average Australian household, you've probably got 10 or more devices all connected to your Wi-Fi network. Well, now is the time to upgrade that home network to Netgear's next generation 802.11 AC Wi-Fi and get the best experience from all your gadgets and your devices. When you upgrade to 802.11 AC Wi-Fi, you'll enjoy video and music streaming with no buffering, more reliable Wi-Fi connectivity and coverage, faster loading of websites and video and email attachments, and much, much more. So be sure to check out Netgear's range of next generation 802.11 AC Wi-Fi products like modems and routers and range extenders at netgear.com.au and do more with your devices this summer.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennick. Tech Guide.
Okay, first up in our reviews for this show is Sony's brand new VPL VW300ES 4K projector. Yes, it's a mouthful, but I have to say this device is incredible. We've been testing out the 4K projector from Sony. That's Sony's latest 4K projector. This isn't the first time at the rodeo for Sony with a 4K home theater projector. A couple of years ago, they came out with the 1000ES, followed that up with the 500ES, and now finally the 300ES, which is the most affordable of the bunch. The first 4K projector released a couple of years ago was more than $25,000 worth. This one, the 300ES, is a lot more affordable. It's $10,999. But you know what? For that price, it's a bargain. What you're getting is absolute tip-top picture quality, a projector like no other that I've ever seen, one of the best pound-for-pound projectors on the market. I know that's it's pretty impressive words, pretty big wrap on this product, but I have to say the picture quality on this projector is jaw-dropping. Now, if you're in the business of a home theater, if you do want to have a home theater in your house, if you're serious about it, then you need a projector. And if you're serious about your projector, then naturally you should look towards 4K. Now, there are other full HD projectors that are half the price of this projector, a third of the price even. And you're getting decent full HD picture quality that are very respectable. But if you want 4K, and I'm talking upscale that takes it up to 4K quality, then the Sony VW300ES does that. I think the biggest compliment we can pay this projector is to say that what we were watching Blu-ray discs of various ages, and it looked like we were watching 4K content. Of course, there's no 4K content at the moment. There's nothing native out there. So what we had to be happy with the upscaling capabilities of this projector. And we have to say, I thought I was watching 4K. That is how good the upscaling was. And it wasn't the garish upscale that you see with other 4K TVs. There were no rough, hard edges and textures pumped in that made it look artificial. This looked naturally clear, great clarity, good contrast, really nice black levels and detail within those black levels. So it looked incredible. Got a brightness of 1500 lumens, which is bright enough to, if you can't darken the room completely, you can still see a pretty clear picture. Two HDMI inputs. It weighs 14 kilos. This is a big projector. It's nearly 50 centimeters wide, 46 centimeters long. It's a large device. We had it testing it in our theater here. We had it ceiling mounted. So you make sure your mount can support the weight. 14 kgs is the size of this projector. It's got front-facing fan vents and is whisper quiet. That's what I was very impressed with, was that it hardly made any noise. Now, normally a projector has a fan constantly going to keep the lamp cool. That is the case with this 4K projector, Sony's 4K projector, but it was quiet enough to only be 26 decibels. You could hardly hear it. The device itself has the ability to have up to a 300-inch picture. So the throw distance of the projector, you can go 300 inches. We had ours, I think, on a 110-inch screen, and it looked amazing. You can obviously expand it larger than that if you want. The quality does not degrade. Now, imagine buying a TV that size, a 4K TV that's 110 inches. You're talking $100,000. Not the case. That's why I said earlier, 10999 for the 4K projector from Sony is pretty good value when you consider you can project an image 100 inches and above, and it's still 4K quality all the way. The Sony VW300ES, priced at $10,999. If I was to buy one projector, this would be the one. The Sony projector. You can read my full review at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
Now, one thing we've all got, in our entertainment, in our lounge rooms, in our home theaters, we've got a lot of devices. And with a lot of devices come a lot of remote controls. Now, if your coffee table, take a look down at your coffee table. Are there 3, 4, maybe 5 remote controls? Let's count them. There's one for the TV. There's one for the set-top box, maybe your Foxtel box. There's another one for your Blu-ray player. Another one for your gaming console. Another one for your DVD recorder. All kinds of remote controls are there. So wouldn't it be good if you could take all of those remote controls and replace them with one remote control? Well, that's the Logitech Harmony Ultimate One that we reviewed on Tech Guide. Now, this is surprisingly easy to set up. The remote control is really ergonomically designed, sits really nicely in your hand. It's got a lot of physical buttons. It's got a touch screen as well. And it does come with a wireless hub and two IR mini blasters. So what happens? You plug the hub near all your equipment and your two IR mini blasters go near all your equipment inside your cabinet. so that the remote control connects wirelessly to your home network as well as to the hub, so that there's no need to even aim at the devices because it goes wirelessly. It's got a Wi-Fi connection. It doesn't need to be direct line of sight to control your devices. You control your devices from another room if you want to with the Logitech Harmony Ultimate One. Now, setting up the device is a matter of just connecting it to your computer, Mac or PC, downloading the My Harmony software. And what it does, then that contains a database of more than 5,000 brands, 225,000 products, whether they're TVs, projectors, Blu-ray players, you name it, it will find it. And if it can't find it, you can get the original remote control from the product that you want to include in the Logitech and simply aim it at the Harmony, and it will learn the commands from that remote control. So it's pretty clever. But it goes even further than that. This can control up to 15 devices, I should add, but rather than just it being a remote to replace all of your other remotes, you can also set what they call activities. So one activity may be to watch Blu-ray. And what you do in the setup, it's quite simple. You select the devices that are required to perform that operation. So we're talking TV, maybe a receiver, and then of course your Blu-ray player. All you need to do is to tick all of those that in the devices that you've already gathered in the remote's memory. And then all you need to do is tell the remote what input the TV needs to be when you do watch a Blu-ray, and then it does the rest. So when you're in your lounge room ready to watch a Blu-ray, you simply hit that activity, one button, and it will turn on your TV. It will turn it to the right input. It will turn on your receiver, and it will turn on your Blu-ray player, and you're ready to go. And then the remote control can then eject the tray on your Blu-ray player and has all the play, navigation, play, pause, fast forward buttons. It's got all the hard keys like your menu and exit button, directional keys, all those sorts of things are right there in the palm of your hand. And if you want to control another device, simply go to the touchscreen, select that other device, and that remote control then turns into a controller for that particular device. Really handy, really easy to set up, and really easy to use. It also comes with a charging stand, so when you're finished, you can sit the remote control in the stand, so always you'll know you've got a charge whenever you're ready to use it. But it gets even better. If you've got a smartphone, you can download the free Harmony app. So once you've set up the Logitech remote control, and you've got all the settings and it's all saved in your account, so you've got to create a little profile on the Logitech website, you can then simply add those credentials to the app on your iPhone or Android device, and then all the settings in your remote control can also be used on your smartphone. So other members of your family, if they've got a smartphone and if they don't actually have the physical remote control in their hand, can still use their smartphone. So that app turns that smartphone into another wireless remote control with all the settings that exist on the physical Logitech remote control as well. Really handy. If you want to read more about it and see my full review, you can find it at techguide.com.au. Now, how many of us have USB-powered devices? I'll tell you how many. All of us. We've got smartphones, we've got tablets, we've got headphones, earphones, gaming, portable gaming devices, cameras, GPS units. All of these devices are powered using a USB cable. So what usually happens, though, is that USB cable is connected to an adapter, to an AC adapter, a wall plug, and then that's plugged into your normal PowerPoint. Well, Kensington have come up with a 4-port USB charger that just connects with one cable to the wall, and it gives you 4 USB ports to charge your devices. So rather than you having to connect the cable to the adapter that goes into the plug in the wall, all you need is the USB cable and connect it to the Kensington charger. It has 4 ports, 4 devices at once. Each of the ports has a 2.4 amp output, which means they can charge devices like tablets, iPads, as well as your smartphone and all these other devices. It's a pretty small unit. It's just under 10 centimeters square and 3.2 centimeters thick, so it's small enough to take with you on your travels. If you're traveling away, I've got it here with me actually in Vegas, so really handy, so I can keep my iPhone, my Android phone, my other devices, my e-reader even. my tablet, everything that's charged with a USB cable normally is all plugged into the Kensington. So one device, it's like a USB power board. It's got four little ports in the device. Really handy way to charge all your products in a relatively small unit. The Kensington PowerWiz 48-watt, four-port USB charger. That's the full name. It's priced at $99.95. And if you want to see what it looks like, you know where to go. TechGuide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
All right, really quickly on the Tech Guide Help Desk, I got an interesting email from one of my readers who, an older reader with his wife, they spent a lot of time in their caravan and they were asking, look, we're looking to upgrade our laptop's really old now. We don't know whether we're to buy a new laptop. What's the best alternative? We're traveling a fair bit. So what's the best thing for them to use? Well, my recommendation is that they buy a tablet. A tablet with a large enough screen, so if they want to use it as an entertainment device, and also one that you can purchase a Bluetooth keyboard. So not only can it be your entertainment device, but if you do need to do things like browsing the web or checking your email, writing the odd thing, then you've got a case or a separate keyboard that can then turn that tablet into a laptop of sorts. So I don't think it's any, because if you buy a laptop straight out, you can't then suddenly start using it as a tablet unless you buy an Ultrabook, which is, I think, above their budget. If you want to buy the laptop, can't go backwards, but a tablet can go forward and become almost a laptop replacement. Like the Microsoft Surface is a great example. That's a really powerful tablet. But even an iPad, an Android tablet with a keyboard is near enough to laptop quality, laptop capability, and especially for my readers who are traveling in the caravan, that I think is more than enough to get them through. So rather than going to the expense of a laptop and the inconvenience of having a cart around a laptop, you can't really use it screen only most of the time. I think having a versatile product like a tablet is the best of both worlds for their solution. If you have your question, there's a one-click icon on Tech Guide's homepage where you can send me an email. You'll also be able to get into our forums and also pose your question there, or just send me an email, info@techguide.com.au, and you never know, you may be featured on the next Tech Guide Help Desk. And that's the show for this week. As always, everything we've spoken about can be seen at techguide.com.au. And if you want to get in touch, email us, info@techguide.com.au. Special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. Been great having you with us once again. We look forward to you joining us again next week when we're going to discuss all the major releases from here at the Consumer Electronics Show. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.